This is On the Other Hand. A podcast that explores politics and other issues of importance to Arkansans through conversations with community leaders. On the Other Hand is sponsored by Braver Angels in Arkansas, and Braver Angels is part of a national organization that aims to reduce political polarization by promoting honest but respectful dialogue among people of all political beliefs. We believe our progress as a community and country happens when we actively seek common ground with the other side so that problem solving can occur. Hello and welcome to On the Other Hand. I'm your host, April Chatham Carpenter, and I'm here today with my co-host, Glenn White. Get ready for today's conversation, and our guest today is Gwen Falconberry from Ozark, Arkansas. Gwen is actually joining us for a two-part conversation, and today we're going to have the second part of her two-part conversation that she had with us recently.
We're talking about the way people nowadays deal with political differences. And most of us remember a time when there were still important differences politically, but people were more respectful and at least pretended to listen and weigh the pros and cons of an argument. So clearly, in many ways, not everybody is that way now, but there is a lot of that going on now. So in Braver Angels, we think it's really critical for the survival of our democracy
yes.
that we listen respectfully across political divides. And so I wonder if you can tell me, maybe in some ways that you haven't already, why you see that is so important right now in Arkansas, that we vote for, elect, and support people of either party who are willing to have a legitimate conversation and a weighing of differences.
Well, I think what you start with is a common set of values. And I think that is one of my biggest worries for Arkansas and, frankly, for America right now, is it's almost like we don't have a narrative that is bringing us together. You know, it's almost like there's so much focus on it honestly does remind me like of the Civil War in the North and the South. And it's like we need to agree on some common values that we have and start there and then move forward from there. Instead, it seems like we sort of have these separate, agendas, or there's not this agreed upon value. Like, to me, this is the most basic thing that we should agree on is helping people, or, bringing people together. You know, there are some very basic things. Children, making sure our children have what they need and investing in our future that way. You know, spending our money wisely. I always hear about, the founding of this nation as a Judeo-Christian, nation. But to me, those values are not, whether you're a Judeo-Christian or not, there are certain values, moral values even, that, the value of life, the value of freedom, that I think we start with those things and we agree on them, and then we move forward from there on, how we balance the individual's, freedoms and the good of everyone. And it's like this heart to work together and to believe that we don't have to have our own way about everything, and that's not even healthy. And that's hard for everyone, I realize. It's hard for me because there are things I feel very strongly about. And, I have to check myself because I can be really strident about those things and not want to give on them. But, you know, in my heart of hearts, I truly believe we are better, we are stronger when we have a diversity of ideas. I have blind spots, you know, if I, you know, things I feel really strongly about, I need someone to show me the other side of those. And that's, you know, to me, like the strength of America and the strength of Arkansas, that's when we're at our best. And I just don't see that common, you know, and I as a writer and a storyteller, it's like I think one of the reasons I try to grab these stories from people is to just weave together sort of this narrative of humanity that we can agree on and then maybe work out from there. But there has to be an assumption, I think, of good intentions. You know, because when you look across the table and you think of someone as your arch enemy, that's just a completely different way than if I look at across the table and I see someone who maybe doesn't agree with me about some things, but they're basically a good person who's trying to do the right thing.
Yeah, I think that's what happened in our polarized society now. There's so much emphasis on differences in certain political ideas that it's gotten away from the values that you're talking about, and so people feel justified in turning their backs, shunning you, belittling you, looking at their iPhones, and that's just really not helpful. You talk about the diversity of opinions being important. It really is, and that's one of the things that I think Braver Angels does well, is it allows people, it asks people, in fact, I'd say it expects people to be respectful, and to listen. And then when you do that for a little bit of time and the conversation carries on, you find out those people aren't so bad. I mean, I disagree on some things, but
exactly.
They're human beings. I don't want to go kill them and have a war with them. You know?
Right. It's actually a magical thing that happens. Yeah. I think proximity can really change your perspective on someone you think is your enemy or who you think is so different from you. You know, if you can get in the room with them and actually listen to their stories or hear, you know, what their struggles are, there's a common thread, you know, in there of humanity. And I think I have to want, you know, the rights and the freedoms and the good for everyone else that I want for myself and my own kids, you know. And I don't know. I just think one thing I love about Braver Angels is sort of the ground rules of civility, you know, that you're invited to the table. That doesn't mean you behave however you want to, right?
Right.
You're invited to the table as long as you can be civil and respectful. And that's fair. That's a fair expectation.
And it takes us into a good place.
So, Gwen, I love the recommendations already that I'm seeing come out of what I'm learning from you today. And I think about, you know, what recommendations could we potentially, or do you have for others in terms of how they could make a difference in their communities?
Oh, gosh. You know, I think this is the question that keeps me up at night. And it's one reason I'm so thankful for Braver Angels, and I'm so thankful for being able to do the work I do at Arkansas Strong, because it feels like we can do something, right? We're doing something. And I think what I would say to people in their communities who are troubled by the way things, you know, are and the problems that they see is to take that energy that they, you know, that they feel this discouragement or, you know, heartbreak or anger or whatever it is, and take that what's inside and do something with it on the outside. And I think that can look like all different things. It may just look like, you know, volunteering for, you know, to help people in any feeling any need that there is in the community. But I think, you know, there are some some ways that that we can engage that are hard, but they make a big difference. And one of them is just having the courage to think before we act, and the courage to try to empathize with another person before we make our decision. That probably sounds too abstract, but let me give you an example. So, you know, I was hearing about the different laws and things that were being discussed regarding transgender children in our legislature. And I just kept, you know, trying to decide what I thought was right and how I could help, you know, this situation and what the underlying value is there that should be driving us, you know, legitimately listening, trying to listen, you know, to both sides. And I saw this woman on Twitter who was, you know, she looked like me. I mean, even, you know, about my same age. And she said something about, you know, her child and just what a hard time this was. And I contacted her and asked her if she would talk to me just out of the blue. And I'm sure it was just the weirdest thing ever, you know, for her. And it was a weird thing for me to do, but I just asked her, you know, if she would meet and talk to me and help me understand. And so I drove up to Fayetteville. She's from Bentonville. And we met at a coffee shop. And really all I did was listen to her talk about her experience with her child. And it changed me. Because all of a sudden it's that proximity thing, Glenn. You know, all of a sudden this was not this hypothetical, you know, child with confusion about, you know, their gender. It was a mother like me who loves her kids just like I do and who doesn't have it all figured out but needs the freedom to try to figure it out and do what is best for her kid, you know? And it just, I just realized, you know, I may not ever fully understand where people are coming from in some of these issues that are so divisive, you know, unless it's happening to me. I may not fully understand all the implications of it. But in that moment, I just thought, you know, if this was me and my kid, I would want the freedom to try to figure it out, you know, between me, my family, you know, my doctor, my, you know, trusted faith leaders, and my kid. And I would want the freedom to do what I thought was best and not have someone else telling me what I had to do, that I didn't have a choice, you know, and especially someone who does not understand this. You know, there are so many things we cannot understand until we are in that person's shoes. And I think when we do that, it gives us that respect, you know, that we're looking for, Glenn. It doesn't even mean that we have to agree with everything they're doing or that we would do the same thing, but it gives a respect for an individual's, you know, freedom to figure these things out without interference from politics, you know, and from a government that, you know, unfortunately has sometimes interests that aren't the interests of that person at heart. And I think we need more of that. I think we've got to have some more courage to step out and, you know, say, you know, I think I honestly think, I mean, I had someone in my community when I was running, you know, come to me and say, I honestly think Democrats are evil. Like, I think they are tools of the devil. And I do not understand how you could take on the banner of Satan. And, you know, it may sound a little bit laughable, but at least that person came to me and said that, you know, and gave me the chance to explain how this came about, you know, kind of like I've explained to you guys. And I think we have got to take some of this angst and energy that we have where we feel like we don't have any control over, you know, this national landscape in politics, and just love our neighbors enough to talk to them, like reach out and have some respect and have conversations that are not comfortable, and try to see the other person's side. I think, you know, I think another place I really see this happening right now is like with teachers in school. You know, I see teachers being judged and criticized for, you know, supposedly teaching these, you know, crazy things that are, you know, I actually don't even believe that is happening in Arkansas, but instead of maybe it is, you know, and instead of demonizing those people that you see or that you fear are doing something harmful that you do not want happening, you know, with your child, go and talk to them directly. You know, I can say as a teacher, like, I want parents to come and talk to me. We are begging people to come, like, to conferences and, you know, and get involved in their kids' education. There's nothing, like, secret going on.
So you're after a dialogue.
Yes. And so instead of, like, believing this narrative of, oh, my gosh, you know, they're indoctrinating our children or grooming them for some, you know, weird thing, go sit, you know, remember that especially in these small towns, that is a person you may have even grown up with. They've not suddenly become this sinister, you know.
They haven't sprouted horns.
Right. Go talk to them and, yeah, you know, about it.
Yeah.
And I do believe that, you know, I have a lot of hope that if we can do some of those things, like, on a local level, and then it could even spread, like, you know, I try to have these conversations with people in our state. Let's just do it in our state. Let's be friends again. Let's let Democrats and Republicans be friends and work together again. And let's make the tent bigger. And even if that's not what the national parties are doing, maybe they'll see, oh, this is working in Arkansas, and we could lead and show people how to do this. Well, I think you can scale that on down to, you know, if there's one community doing that in Arkansas right now, they would be like a shining star, mm-hmm, you know, and maybe other communities could see, oh, we can do this. You know, this is not that hard. And
So I'm curious about something back to when you mentioned the lady who came to you and talked about you being a tool of Satan, basically. So she did come to talk to you. I'm curious if y'all had enough of a conversation that you can feel that she maybe learned something or softened her view of you. How did that turn out?
Well, it was interesting because I don't think she really had a bad view of me to start with. This was a person I had grown up with. Mm-hmm. And she said, you know, I'm just really struggling with this. I don't think I can vote for a Democrat. I was just like, this is, you know me, you know, like, this is me we're talking about. And that was when she said, yeah, I know you, and I don't know why you would take on the banner of Satan. And I just was like, you know, so went through the reasoning, and what came out was she's just extremely fearful of the national party. And she, I think in the end, felt like that I was naive and that they would try to corrupt me, even though she knew my values and knew who I was, and she wasn't afraid of how, you know, of something I would do, but she just didn't trust. And actually it ended, it was difficult how it ended, because she's still extremely suspicious, like, of the party, and that's okay. I mean, I'm suspicious of some of the things I see coming out of that too, on both sides, but I felt like I was able to bring her back to, this is a person, you know, who I know and can see and can trust, and I don't know whether she voted for me or not in the end, but the relationship was, instead of just becoming enemies, you know, the relationship was salvaged.
Good, good. Well, you know, the fear and anger are such powerful tools in politics, and we see it used more and more, and it's real unfortunate, because you talked about how fearful she was. So I'm glad you did something at the individual level of the relationship. I'm thinking back now to what you talked about with Arkansas Strong, that one of the things y'all try to do is collect and spread the stories, the positive mm-hmm. things happening in the state. And so, you know, people listening to this might be interested. You're asking them to do some things. You're challenging them to mm-hmm. take on something with what's going inside and act out in the community in a way to help. So if they wanted to get in touch with Arkansas Strong, or if there are things they could do, do you have any suggestions on how they could do that?
Oh, sure. Just go to the website, www.arstrong.org. You can also, in my Democrat Gazette column there at the end, it gives my email address, and it also gives a link to Arkansas Strong. But, you know, telling your story can be a very powerful thing. You know, so I'm always looking for stories of the helpers, you know, and just getting involved. We try to, you know, stick our nose in wherever we see something good and positive going on, and something where people are coming together based on values more than politics, but like working together on values to you know, to make a difference and to make some headway. And so, sure, I mean, we are always looking for people to connect with that mission and get on board.
Yeah, you said you used the word helpers, which really got me to think about Mr. Rogers.
That's what I was thinking about.
So for those who don't know, Mr. Rogers is kind of famous for saying, you know, his mother, I think, told him mm-hmm. when he was seeing all these horrible, you know, deaths and, you know, community traumas happening, mm-hmm. you know, how to handle that. And she says, always look for the helpers.
Yeah.
And that sounds like what Arkansas Strong is doing, looking for the helpers.
We are. We're trying to find the helpers, connect them with each other, and we're trying to be helpers ourselves.
Good, good, good. Well, Gwen, I really thank you. I know we could keep going, but we need to stop. We really appreciate your being a guest and sitting down with us today. Enjoyed the conversation. I hope you have lots of good luck carrying on that in the future. And I think, April, I think it's time for us to kind of wrap things up. Maybe if we could each share a thought or two about what came out and what struck us about the interview with Gwen today. What are some of your thoughts?
Well, I wrote down this statement because I thought it was so powerful. When you're talking about weaving together the narrative of humanity, weaving together the narrative of humanity, where we're assuming good intentions of the other, and just coming into any encounter with that, it made me actually think of a book that I'm in the process of reading by Monica Guzman called I Never Thought of It That Way, which is an excellent book to encourage us to maintain curiosity and to have these fearlessly curious conversations in these divided times.
For me, I think several things stood out, but the key things, because they're consistent with the way that I've been thinking, one is how important it is for us to start, each of us individually, doing more of our voting and our political decision making based on values rather than a few talking points and fear-based appeals by either party, because it happens in both sides. Not to engage in both sides ism, but there's plenty of that going on both sides. So we need more people who are looking carefully at the people they vote into office and say, are they still acting in accordance with the values I thought they had and that they preached? And then keep that in mind and let that impact your subsequent votes and your subsequent acts. I also like the notion about the local folks being more in the know, and I think that's important. So I just really appreciate everything that you've had to say, Gwen. Any final thoughts for us?
Well, I feel like I've really given you a lot of my thoughts. No, I just appreciate you. I appreciate the work that you're doing. It's so encouraging to find, you know, kindred spirits who are, you know, who are just trying to build bridges and make a way through this hard time. We are going to get through it. I think we have an important part to play in that, and we can't give up. You know, there are times when it just feels so heavy. But I think we have to keep trying. We have to keep believing. We have to keep setting that example, and we have to keep trying to draw people into those conversations. And, you know, my faith tells me that I plant those seeds and I cultivate them. And then we trust that, that the harvest comes through in time. And so if that is not even in our lifetimes and it is for our kids and grandkids, it's still worth it to be doing this work right now. So thank you, both of you, for your work and for promoting mine.
Thanks again to Gwen Falkenberry for this captivating conversation that's in two parts, that today was the second part that you're listening to. And we really appreciate our listeners for joining us for this edition of On the Other Hand, and hope that you enjoyed this Part B discussion with Gwen Falkenberry of Arkansas Strong. Be sure to check out the first part of this conversation if you haven't had a chance to do that already. You can find it actually on our Braver Angels Arkansas website at arkansas.braverangels.org under the podcast label.
Okay, and we'd also love to hear from our listeners about feedback. What do you like about what we're doing? Any suggestions for improvement? Let us know if you have ideas for other speakers or topics that are consistent with what we're talking about. Just basically whatever you want to share with us. You can email us at otherhandar@gmail.com, and that would also be on the website.
On the Other Hand is sponsored by Braver Angels in Arkansas. Music was composed by Randall Standridge of Jonesboro, Arkansas, and was performed by the University of Northern Colorado's Symphonic Band with Dr. Richard Main as the conductor.
From your host, Glenn White,
and April Chatham Carpenter,
have a good evening, and let's all work to bring our community closer together.